Thank you, Craig, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. If you were not here last week, Pastor Jeff preached. He did an excellent job, as he always does, and you can catch that if you go on to our YouTube page or our website or the podcast. I encourage you to go listen to it. He really ministered to me. I was out last week on my way to Orlando, and I was able to watch it on YouTube, not as I was driving. I listened to it as I was driving, but before I left, I was able to watch it. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But I was out last week, and I'll tell you, I really miss you when I'm not here on Sunday. I love worshiping the Lord with you, and when that is not happening on a Sunday, it feels weird. You know, there's this, it feels like my week gets thrown off a little bit, and so I missed you. And since I wasn't here, I didn't get to say this. Now, if you are newer to the church, I'll just tell you, this is not something we do every week, so just know that. But if you are a veteran, and you are comfortable with it, would you just raise your hand? If you are a veteran, would you raise your hand? Would y'all join me in thanking them? I hope you had a great Veterans Day. Thank you for serving our country. I also want to say thank you. I am really catching up on a lot of things that I didn't get to do last week. We had our fall festival a couple weeks ago, and it took a lot of volunteers to do that event. And so if you served, I just want to say thank you. We got to minister to our community, reach people that we have not reached before. And so thank you for taking time out of your Saturday. And those who led it, they've been working on it for months and months and months. So thank you for serving. Thanksgiving is 11 days away. So you know what that means. You know what's 46 days away? Nah, I tricked you. It's New Year's Day. You know what is 39 days away? Christmas, yeah. So we are officially in the holiday season. It's that time of year where millions upon millions of people travel. I mean, assuming that the government's gotten all that stuff figured out and the air traffic controllers are working again. But people are traveling this time of year. When I was a kid, we didn't really travel much during the holidays. That's because one set of my grandparents lived here. I grew up in this area. And so that meant that all of them, all of my family, came to us. Now, we didn't travel much, but I knew when a holiday was coming along, it meant my cousins were going to be coming down. And when you're a kid, cousins are like celebrities. You know, you get so excited to see them. When they come, it is the best week of the year. And now that I'm older, now that I'm grown up, my parents live here, which means that my kids' cousins travel to here for the holidays. And they react, my kids react the same way that I reacted. When they find out that their cousins are coming, I mean, they absolutely lose it. It's like they had three Red Bulls and then chased it with a Mountain Dew. They just start pinging off the walls. They're so excited for their cousins to be here. And so when we tell them, we know that we just started a countdown. You know, they latch onto this like a dog with a bone. So we hear 12 days till the cousins will be here. 6 days till the cousins will be here. 3 days, one more day, 5 minutes before the cousins will be here. We just hear it over and over and over. And it doesn't take long for my wife and I to deeply regret ever telling them that their cousins were coming at all. But the day of is the worst, because we will hear this one question 50 times before 9 o'clock a.m. You know, it is, are the cousins close? Well, are they close now? Okay, what about now? Are they going to be here soon? And then eventually they'll say, oh, I heard a door shut outside. Was that my cousins? Are they here? They get really excited to see their cousins, and it's like every 2 minutes, like clockwork. Are they close? Now, though I get annoyed by that question, I did the exact same thing when I was a kid. And what they're really asking is, are the cousins near? Now, that's a question I think all of us maybe ask at some point in our lives, maybe many times in our lives. Not about our cousins, though. We ask, is God near? Because we go through things that make us feel maybe like he's not. And maybe you experience hardship or tragedy and you ask, is God near? Maybe you see all the sin that you have in your life and you see how perfect and holy God is and you wonder, is God near? Maybe you go through a season where it just feels like God is far off and you wonder, is God near? Well, we're in a series of lessons right now called Is God Blank, where we are exploring the character of God by asking honest questions. And today we're asking that question, is God near? And as we study this one verse, Zephaniah 3:17, we'll see three reasons you know God is near. Three reasons that you know God is near. So let's start with the first one. You know God is near because he is your God. That's number one. Imagine you need to relay a message to my wife, Bethany. I don't know what you would need to tell her. Maybe like, hey, can you dress Sean differently every once in a while? You know, I mean, I dress myself and I like this shirt. Thank you very much. But you need to relay a message to her. And so you call her, but she doesn't answer because she doesn't have her phone with her. So you might call her again. You might text her. And if you get no response, then what do? Well, you drive to 842 Dolphin Street here. No, I'm just kidding. That's not our address. Don't drive there. I don't know who lives there unless you're inviting them to church. Then by all means, drive there. But you might, if you can't get a hold of her, you might call my phone. And you might say, when I answer the phone, you might say, hey, are you with Bethany? Or you might say, is your wife near you? Okay, so imagine you ask me that and I'm on the phone and I say, well, I'm with a wife. How would you feel about that? You'd probably think, a wife, well, that's vague enough to be concerning. A wife, is it someone else's wife that you're with? A wife, Sean, how many wives do you have? One, only one can tolerate me. So praise the Lord, I got one. If I said a wife, you might feel a certain way, but if I responded with, yes, I'm with my wife, well, now you know I'm talking about Bethany. Now there is no question who I am talking about. There is a difference between a wife and my wife. See, I have a nearness with my wife that I don't have with other people. I have a closeness with my wife that I don't have with anybody else. I have an intimacy with my wife that I don't have with another person. My wife is near to me. So if you have your Bible, look with me at Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord, your God, is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. It says, the Lord, your God. Well, that's intentional. That is a loaded phrase. It doesn't say the Lord a God. It doesn't say a Lord their God. It doesn't say the Lord a God who is far off. No, it says the Lord your God. And there's a difference between a God and your God. You have a nearness with your God, a closeness with your God, an intimacy with your God that you don't have with anyone else because your God is near. Now, did you see how in your Bible, Lord here is all capitalized? Did you notice that? Well, that's not a mistake. You know, it's not like someone was typing and hit cap locks on accident and then just kept going and the editor didn't catch it. That's not what happened. No, it's intentional. Whenever you see Lord all caps, it is translating a Hebrew word that is Yahweh. You've probably heard that before. And Yahweh is God's covenant name. It's whenever Yahweh is used, it's talking about God in close relationship with someone. It's talking about how God has a relationship with you. It's talking about how God is near. And these words are chosen carefully. The Lord, your God. Those are not an accident. Instead, the writer is making a point here. God wants us to see that he identifies with you. He claims you as his own. He is not far away. He is not detached. He is not indifferent. He is among his people, not just circling above them. You see, God is near. The Lord your God means God has drawn close to you relationally. The Lord your God means God has committed to you covenantally. The Lord your God means God is not abstract. He is present with you. But maybe you come in here this morning and you feel like you're far from God. And you know all the answers. You would say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe that God is Yahweh, that he is near. But the truth is, he feels distant. And if you were really honest, you would say, God seems out there. He seems abstract. He seems far away. Well, if that's you today, you need to hear this. If you belong to Jesus, God is not a God. He is your God. And you say, Sean, I hear that. I know what you're saying is true. But you don't know what it feels like. You don't know what I'm going through. In fact, you don't know what I have done in my past, the mistakes I have made that have made me maybe right now feel distant from God. Well, maybe I don't know all that stuff. But here's what I do know. He says, I am the Lord your God. Now, he did not say, oh, I was the Lord your God when you were doing better. He did not say, I will be the Lord your God once you clean yourself up. He didn't say, I will be the Lord your God once you get rid of all of your doubts. No, right now, in the middle of what you feel, he says, I am your God. That's how you know he's near. He is your God. So that's the first reason you know he's near. And then there's a second reason. It's number two. You know God's near because he is your warrior. He is your warrior. Look with me again at verse 17. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. Zephaniah says, the Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. Now, that is not a picture of a distant or a passive God. It is the image of a divine warrior stepping onto the battlefield for you. Now, did you notice what it didn't say? It didn't say God is a general who saves. Didn't say God is a president who saves. Didn't say God is a manager who passes orders down the org chart to save. No, it says he is a warrior who saves. Well, guess what a warrior does? A warrior wages war. A warrior battles. A warrior fights. That's what God does for you. A warrior is not off in the distance just texting you instructions on what to do. No, a warrior is near. In Zephaniah chapter 3, what's being described is God's people are surrounded. Their enemies are near. Their judgment is near. Their destruction is near. Yet God promises that he is among them, that he is closer to them than all of those things. And he saves them, not by sending an army. He saves them by sending himself, by coming to them himself. He is your warrior who saves, which means that he is near. God doesn't stand back, you know, away from you with his arms crossed, shouting commands at you from heaven. No, he is near. He enters the field. He delivers his people from danger, from destruction, from despair. Now, if you have read the Bible before, and if you haven't, that's okay. We are happy that you are here. In fact, if you don't own a Bible, we have a Bible for you on the back table. We want you to take that. It is a gift to you so that you can read it and learn about God. But if you have read the Bible before, think about the Red Sea. Think about the walls of Jericho. Think about David's Goliath. In all of those scenarios, what happened? God saved. He is the warrior who saves, and he is not far off. He is near to his people. Have you ever taught a kid to swim before? If you have, you know that it is an experience. We'll just put it that way. Kids, some take to water really well. Some really struggle getting in the water. And so I heard one person say one time, hey, what you need to do is you just need to throw them in the water and they'll figure it out. It's like, what? Figure out what? Figure out how to meet Jesus early? That seems like what's going to happen. You know, parents don't do that. But we were teaching my kid one time to swim. He was doing great. We were so proud of him. And what he would do is he would stand on the edge of the pool deck, and he would jump into the water, and then he would turn around and he'd swim back, climb out, stand on the edge, jump in over and over and over. He was doing that. And he was doing really well. I think he got very confident in himself, maybe a little too confident. He decided, you know what, I'm going to take a few steps back. I'm going to get a running start, and I'm going to jump as far as I can. So that's what he did. He got way back there. He started running as fast as he could, and he jumped off further than he had ever jumped before. He got, like, in the middle of the pool, a place he had never been before. And I'm telling you, once he hit the water, it's like he forgot everything he ever knew about swimming. He starts panicking. He's flailing around. He's screaming. He's drinking all this pool water that has chlorine. I mean, his insides were really clean. He could have had surgery, you know. But he is panicking. You know what my wife does? See, she doesn't stand on the pool deck and say, hey, you're doing great. You know, just keep kicking. We believe in you. No. You know what she does? She jumps in. She takes her phone out. Then she jumps in and she gets him. She pulls him to the side and she gets him out of the pool. Hey, that's what love does, right? Love doesn't stand on the pool deck dry and dignified. No, it jumps in to save the one who needs it. That's exactly what God does. He is not standing on the pool deck shouting commands at you. He's not standing up in heaven shouting down what you should do. He's not up there sending you $7 Hallmark cards that say, I believe in you, you're going to be all right. No, that's not what God does. He is described as a mighty warrior who fights for you. He enters your chaos. He gets wet. He gets close. He fights for you. He is the warrior who saves, not from a distance. He is the one who saves because he is near to you. Some of you, maybe you come in here today and you feel like that kid in the pool. And if things were going great in your life, your faith was strong, things were working out for you, and then all of a sudden it changed. Something happened, something heavy, something unexpected. And right now you might feel like you're just trying to keep your head above the water. And as you're flailing around, as you're kicking, as you're gasping for air, you're wondering, where is God in all of this? And maybe you feel like he's standing on the edge there with his arms crossed, looking at you, shaking his head, saying, I knew this would happen with them. Get it together. But that's not what God is like. No, he is not distant. He is not far off. Listen to me, no matter how you feel, God is near. He is your warrior who saves. Though you might be in the heat of battle, though you might feel like you are drowning, though you might feel like no one is there to help you, God is near. So when you're overwhelmed, when anxiety rises, when relationships strain, when life feels like it's closing in, remember, God isn't standing at a distance, evaluating how you're handling things. He's present in the middle of what you're going through. He's not shouting commands on how to fix your situation. He's acting on your behalf. He is not sending comfort by mail. No, he is bringing it to you himself because he's with you. You might not feel like God is fighting for you. You might not see how God is fighting for you, but he is. He is closer than your trouble. He is stronger than your storm. He is committed to your good more than you can imagine. He is your warrior, and he is near. So that's the second reason you know he's near. And then there is a third reason. You know God's near because he delights in you. We've got all kinds of people in here. You know, some are like teachers. Some are nurses. Some are managers. Some are parents. All different kinds of people in here. And no matter where you are in your life, I'm sure that you've had that moment. You know, that moment where your student does the one thing you told them not to do. Or that moment where your patient unhooks every wire from themselves in the hospital like they're escaping in a spy movie. Or that one moment where the employee goes against protocol because that's not how we did it at my old job. Or that one moment where your kid peeks at their presents that are in that one closet you told them not to look in. We've all had that one moment happen. And when it did, how did you feel about that person? How did you feel toward that person? Angry? Disappointed? Confused at how another human could make that decision? You don't get it. And what happens is we're not exactly thrilled with them, are we? You know, that's not what we're feeling. In fact, if someone was like, hey, how do you feel towards this person right now? Happy is not one of the words that would pop into your mind, is it? No, we're frustrated with them. And what we might do to them is we might send them to the principal's office. We might send them home. We might send them to their room. We send them away from us. We don't want to be around them. Well, the people that Zephaniah is talking about here, they're not perfect. You know, they didn't have to wear these massive, oversized jackets walking around so that they could hide their angel wings like some of you do. You know, they were not perfect. They were sinners like me, sinners like you. And they had made mistakes in their lives. They had gone against God. They did what they knew was wrong, and you would kind of expect God to feel toward them what you feel toward other people when they do something like that. You'd expect them to be angry. You'd expect him to be disappointed. You'd expect him to be upset. In fact, you'd expect him to send them away, to abandon them, to not let them be near him. But look with me at what God says in verse 17. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. God rejoices over them with gladness. He delights in them with singing. See, this is not just a God who is nearby physically. It is a God who is there personally, emotionally, spiritually. His nearness is not like silent indifference, like, okay, whatever, I guess you can hang out here. No, his presence is this delightful singing. Now just stop for a minute and think about that. Think about what that means for you. The God who created everything. The God whose voice shakes mountains. The God who is so holy that angels have to hide their face when they are around him. That God rejoices over you. He delights in you. He is near to you. Have you ever seen someone watch a game on TV? Maybe football or basketball, baseball, soccer, even bowling, which for some reason is on TV way more than any of us ever asked for. Not a real sport, but I'm not going to go on that rant today. You've seen someone watch something like this, and they get really into it, you know? Like they're clapping, they're pumping their fists, they're yelling at the TV like the quarterback's going to turn around and go, hey, John from Freeport, thanks for pointing that out. I really needed to know that. You watch someone watch TV like this, and you don't say anything, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, buddy, they can't hear you. They don't know that you're clapping. They're 700 miles away, and they don't even know that you exist. You see, the spectator who's watching this on TV is rejoicing in what the athlete is doing, but they're not rejoicing over them because they're not there. They're not present with them. They're delighting, but it's at a distance from the athlete. Well, God rejoices over you. Right? He is not that spectator who is watching you on TV from 1,200 miles away. No, he is more like the coach that is down there on the sidelines, on the field with you, who is clapping, who is cheering, who is encouraging you. God rejoices over you. He is near. And here's the thing, this comes after God's people have done bad things. It has come after they have rebelled, after they have wandered, after they have faced judgment. And here's what it's showing us. God's delight isn't dependent on their performance. Hear that? God's delight isn't dependent on their performance. It's dependent on his character, on his commitment to them. They've been unfaithful. God remains faithful. So maybe God brought you here today so that you would hear this. God's nearness is not based on your goodness. God's nearness is not based on your goodness. It's based on his grace. You know that he is near because he delights over you, even though you are a sinner, even though you have done wrong. If you have faith in Jesus, then right now, and maybe you would even say this, even now, God is delighting over you. He loves you. He is near. When God is near, he doesn't come with crossed arms and clenched teeth, ready to judge everything that you have done. He comes with a heart full of joy. Some of us, we do need to hear this because we've made mistakes. We know that we have done wrong. We have chosen to do the opposite of what God has said, and we feel like failures. We feel ashamed. And so hear this. God is not tolerating you. He's treasuring you. God is not putting up with you. He is pleased with you. God is not frowning over your flaws. He's rejoicing over your redemption. Now, if you are sinning, if you are willingly going against God, you need to stop. You need to repent. You need to change. Be done with sin. But also you need to know, God delights in you. He is near. That's what real nearness looks like. If God was distant, he would just analyze you. But because he's near, he delights in you. If he was a detached God, then he would just evaluate you. But because he is a loving father, he rejoices over you. God delights in you. He is near. So that's the third reason that we see here in this text. So let's go back to that first question that we asked. Is God near? You know he is, because he is your God, he is your warrior, and he delights in you. So no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what you experience, no matter how distant God seems, remember and know that God is near. But listen, the ultimate way that we know this, the ultimate proof that we have, the ultimate evidence that he is not distant, detached, or disinterested is Jesus. You see, the story of humanity is that God created us to be near him. He created us for a relationship with him. But we have decided to go against God. We have separated ourselves. We have distanced ourselves from God by sinning against him, by living for ourselves instead of for him. And there is no amount of goodness, good things that we could do to work our way back to God, to bring ourselves back to God. We have created a chasm, a gap, a canyon between us and God with our sin that we could never get over. Now here's the good news. Jesus came to save sinners like us. Jesus left the comforts of heaven and he came to earth to bring us near to God. So if you have faith in Jesus, you are close to God. Listen to this Bible verse. It's one of the most beautiful, encouraging Bible verses in all of Scripture. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2. It's verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were, what does it say? Far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He took our guilt, our sin upon himself on the cross. He removed it from us and paid for it with his life. And in exchange, he gave us his righteousness so that we are no longer separated by God, from God by our sin. Instead, we are united to God by the righteousness of Jesus. See, Jesus brought us near to God. Here's the crazier thing, though. That's something that seems crazy to us. Not only did Jesus bring us near to God, he put God the Holy Spirit in us. After Jesus died for our sin, he was buried in the grave. He rose up 3 days later, and he eventually ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to live in all those who have faith in Jesus. So if you are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives in you so that you are never far from God, because God is in you, and he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. So friend, when you ask, is God near? You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. You don't have to wonder. God is near because Jesus brought you close to God and he put the Holy Spirit in you. But if you have never trusted in Jesus, you need to hear this today. You are far from God. You are far from God because just like me, you have sinned against him. And there is no good that you can ever do to bring yourself back to God. But here is the good news for you. Jesus died for sinners like us. Amen. He died to bring us sinners back to God. So if you put your faith in Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, then you are brought close to God by Jesus. If you have never trusted in him, this is your moment. Come to God and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have done wrong. Forgive me based on Jesus. And if you trust in him in your heart, your sins will be forgiven and you will be brought close to God forever. Maybe you have questions about that. Maybe you want to talk to someone about that. Maybe you want someone to pray with you about that. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. Come as everybody else is singing. And after the service, I'm going to be hanging around right down here waiting for you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and being brought close to God. Friend, maybe you walked in this morning feeling far from God. Maybe your circumstances have been loud and his voice has seemed distant and quiet. Maybe your sin has made you feel unworthy of being close to God. Maybe your suffering has made you feel unseen by God. Well, if you belong to Jesus, hear this. Your feelings are not the truth. His presence is. Your God is near. And so as we sing this last song, take a moment to just come before God. Confess to him where you have wandered. Trust what he has promised. Thank him for his nearness and rest in his presence this morning. He is your God. He is your warrior. He delights in you. He is near. So draw near to him now. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, all of us in here have sinned. We have all walked away from you. We have chosen our own path, and it is not the path that you made for us. It's a path that leads to death and destruction. It leads away from your presence. But I thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to bring us home. So I pray, God, that as we deal with different things this week, help us to feel your presence. Help us to know that you are near. I ask if there is someone in here who has not trusted in Jesus, you would show them their sin. Show them the need that they have for a Savior. Show them what Jesus has done for sinners and show them the offer of salvation that is available to them right now. And may they respond in faith. Let this be, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.